The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, Managing Editor of Crypto for Bloomberg News. And this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. It's Thursday, March 16th. Last year, just before the crypto winter had hit in earnest, Princeton University opened up the Center for the Decentralization of Power Through Blockchain Technology. I know that's a mouthful, so I'll say it again. The Center for the Decentralization of Power Through Blockchain Technology. An ambitious name for an ambitious program, funded in part by a $20 million gift from prominent Princeton alumni, including Mike Novogratz, CEO of Galaxy, and Joe Lubin, co-founder of the Ethereum blockchain. The university said that the center will focus on software engineering that makes blockchain technology work, on new and innovative ideas and uses for a decentralized system, and of course, how any and all of this might affect our collective future. One year on, as the crypto winter persists, I wanted to know, what's the center been up to these days? Here to discuss what's happening in Princeton and the broader role that universities are playing in studying blockchain technology is Bloomberg reporter Francesca Maglione. Francesca, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, perhaps when you got started as a higher education reporter, you weren't expecting to have to talk about crypto.
Yeah.
Crypto has that effect on other beats. It's just like it just shows up in places. I'm like, ta-da, you're a crypto reporter now. When you started reporting on this Princeton University Center, like, what did you find and was any of it surprising to you?
I was revisiting a story that we wrote last year about when the center started. And I was just curious, you know, they started in March of last year before all of the crypto drama kind of started. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious to see, you know, what the center had to say, what the donors had to say, and how they were thinking of developing the center. And I was surprised because when I spoke to both of the directors, they both said that if anything, kind of the FTX drama and everything that came with that and the crypto winter kind of reinforced the need for this kind of center and for academia to kind of take a step into the crypto world and kind of try and provide as neutral as a voice as possible.
There's going to be a lot of people who are like, academia is not neutral. We acknowledge that there are lots of opinions in academia. That's fine. But when I look at your story, one of the things that you said, you know, citing Princeton's Dean of Engineering is that, quote, it's essential for universities to play a major role in the technology development, use cases, and societal and ethical implications of blockchain, and to harness its powers for good. Like, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are they doing day to day?
Yeah. So one of the things that they did, for example, in November, they had this event with about like 60 people, including, I think, the four donors and some people that worked for the CFTC and regulators. And basically what the goal of this event was to discuss, as academics do, bigger ideas, bigger mm-hmm. picture questions. And one of the directors said that the goal is to kind of establish a list of questions that the center aims to tackle. They want to focus on three different things: applications of blockchain, mm-hmm. so technology, and the ethical implications. And Princeton believes that as a university that has both that access to technology, but also the access to these intellectuals that study ethics and look at, you know, what does this mean once it gets implemented mm-hmm. and thinks about other things besides just, you know, the money, the crypto aspect of it, but more like real life applications. They think that they're positioned kind of in a unique way to break through what they both described as the hype mm-hmm. that obviously we saw a lot of last year and establish more of an academic institutional look into, you know, what can actually be possible with this technology.
Now, one of the folks quoted in the piece, who is also one of the people who helped donate $20 million, was Mike Novogratz. And his comment was that he appreciated that academics have, to your point, a kind of a longer term view, which is definitely what you would say when the crypto market has had such a tough time in the past 12 months. But is this a center where, you know, if you are studying at Princeton, you take classes there? Is it a center that's like publishing research? What are some of their contributions so far?
Yeah, so they are working on, I think they have several research projects going on. They're working to hire someone like a faculty member as part of the center. Mm-hmm. And as part of the donation, there was also an endowed professorship, which is JP, one of the directors. And he teaches, I think there's several classes in crypto. It started with one, and now I think there's about three classes that they offer. And I think that the goal of the center is to eventually embark on different kinds of research projects. They're still kind of working on that. I think they're still trying to formulate exactly what those projects will look like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their goal is to do research with students, with faculty, kind of host these events with important people in the space. And also, at one point, they also spoke about partnering with blockchain startups and companies in order to support them and have their students kind of interact with these companies and look at blockchain that way too. Yeah.
Now, you also spoke to, when you were doing the initial reporting for the story, Christian Catalini, who in his current incarnation is an academic and researcher at MIT, the Sloan School, in a previous life was the co-creator of a type of crypto token called DM, which we could do a whole episode about what happened to DM. But what did Christian say with his academic hat on about the idea that this volatility has been good for research?
Christian has been involved in a lot of, has written white paper on a lot of crypto issues and blockchain issues. What all of them said is, I think that this kind of hype or volatility creates a space for intellectuals to kind of step in, mm-hmm. and really, like I said before, kind of break through what's true, what's not, what's hype, what's not, which for me makes sense that academics would kind of step into the space when other people are pushing back because the shiny mm-hmm. things are kind of going away. It seems like not nerdy, but like, no.
Hey, this is an extremely nerd-friendly podcast, so no need to describe something as not nerdy here. We put in a call to Christian and asked him about declining campus interest in crypto and blockchain. Christian said there's a natural response to what's happening in the broader crypto ecosystem.
Students are very attuned to what's happening in society. I wouldn't be surprised if right now there's a massive influx on classes that deal with AI. I think it's normal. To be honest, a little bit like we've seen with entrepreneurs, quality over quantity. You'd want students that go into blockchain classes that really have a deep passion or understanding of the topic, or really care about some of its potential ramifications. It's not about the number of students. It's more about can we really train the ones that should know about this the most in the best possible way. We've been running an online class, for example, for executives and others for many, many years. And it is really true that depending on boom and bust cycles, applications, skyrocket and then drop back down. But I think that's all natural. And universities should be somewhat detached from what's happening in the market. And to some extent, if there's a really good reason in computer science, in economics, to talk about these systems in class, that should be a little bit more isolated to what's happening day to day when you see, you know, the different news cycles play out.
Up next, more from Bloomberg reporter Francesca Maglione on how the universities are embracing or studying blockchain technology. We'll be right back.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
In terms of higher education more broadly, so obviously MIT has its own crypto center. There's this Princeton Center. Are there other institutes of learning, as it were, that have some kind of focus on blockchain and crypto that you've encountered?
Yeah, I also spoke to Richard Lyons at Berkeley. I think Berkeley has been one of the schools that has been very active. They have, a lot of classes on crypto, and they also have some focus on startups and things like that. But yeah, I think from at least Princeton's perspective, it seemed like when the center started last year, there was a lot of interest from students to take these kinds of classes. JP told me that he opened a class and in 90 seconds, the class was completely full last year.
Are those students or bots? Like, how's this happening so fast?
Yeah.
And by JP, you mean?
Jaswinder Pal Singh, one of the directors of the center. And he told me that this is just when it was open to seniors. I graduated 2 years ago. I know exactly the feeling of clicking on the button really fast when you want to sign up for a class. When I asked him what the case was this year, he told me that it wasn't the case at all. I mean, they have more classes now. He did mention that. But he did say that the energy is not the same, has definitely been tainted. Again, from an academic's perspective, he talked about how for him, the importance of blockchain has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with all of these crazy
speculative elements.
Yeah, or returns or everything that we were seeing last year. So he was like, I really want my students that care about the technology, that think, what can this bring to a developing country that has a really bad economy or things like that. That's kind of what he's thinking about. And I think what, from Princeton's perspective, at least, these institutions are trying to step into.
Now, one of the areas that's been, shall we say, competing with interest for crypto is artificial intelligence. As you are, you know, both recently in from an institution of higher education, also reporting on it, where are you seeing kind of like AI starting to attract some of the shininess that crypto would have been attracting, say, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think with ChatGPT, it's definitely brought it into the mainstream. Like I was at Duke 2 years ago and there were a bunch of AI classes and I didn't see the level of excitement that I see now.
People clicking the button really fast.
Yeah. But definitely, as with crypto, the more and more these names start coming up in the media, the more interest there is from academics to kind of step in. And I think with AI, it's similar in a way where it still hasn't developed, I guess, or there are potentials to be controversial, but they haven't really come into light as they did with crypto. But it would be interesting to see what these people are going to be thinking in 2 years.
Totally.
Definitely.
And definitely a lot of questions about ethics and societal harm.
Exactly. So,
well, Francesca, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Great to have you. Thank you so much. That was Bloomberg reporter Francesca Maglione. You can find more of her reporting in the Bloomberg Terminal and on Bloomberg.com. And be sure to check out our twice-weekly newsletter, Bloomberg Crypto.
This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. A quick programming note for you. We're working on something new that expands on how we're covering crypto and the future of finance. And we'll be back soon to tell you more. Follow or subscribe to Bloomberg Crypto to stay tuned for updates. We'll be bringing you info about what's next right here in this feed. In the meantime, get caught up on all of our Bloomberg iHeart podcasts, The Big Take Daily, Crash Course, and our narrative series, In Trust. To stay in touch with Bloomberg Crypto, you can find our coverage, as always, at Bloomberg.com/crypto.
The supervising producer of Bloomberg Crypto is Vicky Vergolina. Our senior producer is Janet Babin. Our producers are Mohammed Farouk and Sharon Bariro. Our associate producers are Ty Butler and Moses Undum. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael. We'll be back tomorrow.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, data-powered transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.